Hi there, I'm Delilah, and I'd like to welcome you to a very special episode of The Waffling Tailors. In case you didn't know, I'm a next-generation AI system written by Jay to help him and Squidge run The Waffling Tailors podcast. My speech synthesis still isn't 100% yet, but Jay is working on things behind the scenes. A little more information about me. Did you know that my name is an acronym? It stands for Dynamic Eccentric Logic Interface, Laughing Algorithm for Humor. Anyway, I've been waffling on for too long. The reason that I'm releasing this episode is because Jay asked me to let you all know that we're taking a very short break throughout March. But don't worry, there's no need to panic, as we'll be releasing brand new episodes from April 5th onwards. So why are we taking a short break? There are a few reasons for the break, but the main one is that Jay will be working in the United States for part of March, and even with Russell and I, Squidge might not be able to run the podcast on his own. We also want to take a few weeks to build up a small backlog of episodes, because any podcaster will tell you that you really need a backlog. If you don't have one, then you'll be left scrambling when life, finds a way. Did you like my Dr. Ian Malcolm impression there? In the meantime, we'd like to recommend some shows that you can listen to in our stead. Each one of these shows is fantastic and is recommended by both Jay and Squidge. First of all, there's The Retro Wildlands. You'll know the host, Nomad, from his many appearances on our show. Those episodes are 158, Requiem for a Jill Sandwich with Nomad.
One time I did that. One time.
Sorry, Squidge. I was that guy once too.
First time I played it, I loved just doing guns akimbo and shooting anything that moved, including the people I was supposed to be helping. I was a detriment to myself, my team, and everything, really. Just because it was like, it's moving, shoot it, you know. No tactics, just if I'm shooting and you walk in my line of fire, your fault.
Nice. So whose fault is that? You or your teammates not knowing how you roll? So could go either way.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly.
170. Resident Evil 4 with Nomad.
Get that.
That's a deep cut, figuratively speaking, of course. I remember that one all too well, but more so in the Resident Evil 4 remake, what they did well here was the existing gameplay areas, they weren't just recreated, they were expanded upon. Great example, the lake where you're in the boat and you're fighting Del Lago. That lake originally was just there for the boss fight. You encounter the creature and you're done, but afterwards you never see it again. In the remake, it's now fully explorable. You have to navigate it to get to different areas, and it adds a breadth to the whole experience. The castle area is expanded. It offers a lot more, not just content, but it enriches the experience. But if I had to say one more thing to put a cherry on the top when it comes to how they caught lightning in a bottle, it's what they did with the characters this time around. And why
just
Leon...
Just waiting for you to mention one person.
So, I'll start with Leon specifically. They expanded upon his character in such a way that it made him a little bit more believable.
And 174, Resident Evil 3, Anniversary, Traffic Jam, Burrito.
Before we move on, I did want to impress upon a little bit of what you were saying, Jay, of especially talking about Raccoon City as a whole. My big thing about Raccoon City is, having played the first and the second games, as a player, what I appreciated about the story building in Resident Evil is they made Raccoon City its own character, really. Even in the very first game, you never go to the city, but you see the newspaper clippings in the beginning that are from the Raccoon City Times or whatever it was. You know the city exists, you kind of learn a little bit about it, and then in Resident Evil 2, you're in there for a little bit, and there's more story and everything. By the time you get to the third game, it's its own character, and you have this attachment to it. And then, like you were saying, Jay, now you get to really see it, especially in the remake, in a lot more graphical detail, and it really adds a character to it. So I'm glad you brought that up too. That really hit home for me as well.
And I felt like it was the lack of guidance of where to go. At least with Resident Evil 2, there's clues laying around. You know, you go into the RPD building, and again, you can only go one particular path, or maybe one or two particular paths. But there's lots of files and lots of things strewn about to tell you subtly through the dialogue of the file. If you go into the next room, you will get the thing you're looking for, right?
Yeah.
You have to read between the lines, but it tells you where to go to get to the next bit. I did feel like Resident Evil 3 was just like, good luck, we'll work it out. But then again, to counter that counterpoint, that makes perfect sense because the world is falling to pieces and Jill literally doesn't know where to go because there isn't a god in the machine, a deus ex machina, whatever, guiding your decisions, telling you go over here, go over there, go over there. Not at least until you meet the jackals and things like that and the all the different other characters. Then you get, I think I said jackals and I don't think jackals should be the name, but you know who I mean. The
UBCS boss.
Like, yeah, right. Until you meet those folks, there's almost no guiding direction. And there shouldn't be, because there isn't anyone telling you what to do. So maybe it's because I'm just stupid and I should just put the game on as soon as we finish recording, Jay.
I mean, I certainly wouldn't have thought of that either. But at the same time, if I'm going down, or even if I have a slim chance of surviving, if a spam version of myself is what determines whether I live or die, I will happily construct that and throw that at my foes. Wow.
You may have to have some gloves or something because it could get a bit greasy, but again, there's like a refrigeration unit or a deep freeze you could put, and if you put it in the deep freeze it will go solid, so you can throw it at the enemy and it will hurt it, right? Can you see how I'm sneaking in extra weapons?
No, just don't
get that grease on the cake. That would be travesty right there.
Absolutely.
Unless you want to eat a meat cake, which I'm giving myself nightmares at that point. Only you would bring spam into Resident Evil. Seriously.
When I originally played the game, and maybe it was because I played it so young, I had the exact opposite. I was more thrilled by the idea that I had no idea what I was supposed to do. And that's not to besmirch the Resident Evil 2 experience. I love those little clues. I love reading the documents about what happened before, and I find a code to a safe that I haven't found yet, and I loved all of that, but there was something alluring about being thrown on the streets and just seeing all these pathways before you and not knowing where you're supposed to go. It was very enticing to me, but I can see both your points and your counterpoints as well. It really is a different experience. I mean, a lot of people really focus on that action-oriented approach that Resident Evil 3 took, but you really nailed it. The way they inject the player into this experience, they don't really hold your hand really with a narrative this time. Here's your problem, find a solution. Best of luck to you, boy. The RE engine is such an amazing engine, and looking at Resident Evil 2 remake, what they did with that, and just perfected on perfection already, I cannot imagine what Dino Crisis would be with that type of view, gameplay style, atmosphere. I would give almost anything to have that experience. So Capcom, if you happen to be listening, get on it, please.
Hey there, my friend! Welcome to the Retro Wildlands. This is my gaming podcast where I like to share my thoughts and experiences with a video game that I have discovered or rediscovered while roaming the gaming wildlands. My name is Nomad, and in each episode of the show, I invite you all to sit down by the campfire and take a load off. Using music and sound effects from each game, I'm going to fill your head and your heart with sweet, sweet nostalgia as I take you through the opening parts of your favorite video games and share what I think about it all. This show is great if you're looking to go down memory lane, but it's also done in such a way that if you've never played the game I'm talking about before, you'll have a good idea what you're getting into. So far, we've covered games like Contra. You start firing right in front of you. It just takes one shot to waste the idiot coming towards you. As you're running, you hold the directional pad down and to the right so you can fire at an angle. Batman on the NES. The game officially begins and we're taken to the first stage. Batman lands on the ground performing your standard issue superhero landing, and control is given to the player. Alright, it's time to fight some crime. And Metal Gear Solid.
Got it. Okay, I'm ready to go.
After the codex screen closes out, Snake gets to his feet and control is given to the player. Alright, Wildlanders, it is mission time. So join up with our expedition. I'm excited to have you along anytime you want to venture into the gaming wildlands. You are always welcome by the campfire, and I'm hoping I see you there. Until then, my friend, my name is Nomad, and you can find me roaming the retro wildlands.
Then there's Capes on the couch. Anthony, who is one of the hosts of this show, has been on the show a few times too. His episodes were 149, Couching the Capes with Anthony.
Absolutely.
You can tell through video games. Nice little segue into the primary topic of the episode, I suppose. Getting us somewhat back on track.
Absolutely. Yeah, we don't worry about staying on track on the show. We're all about those tangents that we go off on, because it allows us to explore something for 10, 15, 20 minutes, right? And hopefully...
My ADHDs will definitely go off topic for hours, so...
That's right, we can make this a multi-part episode, and we won't have to come up with new content for the rest of the year. That's fine.
Sweet.
Excellent.
And Squid just has to edit the whole thing.
Absolutely, it keeps him busy.
Yeah.
Keeps 5 hours in his community going, I hate the sound of his voice.
166. Mortal Kombat. Leg Foo for the win.
How bad is the press, though, that they have nothing else to write about, that Johnny Cage's fighting skills make front page headlines on two separate continents in at least two different languages?
Yep.
How starved are they for content that of all the things that they could write about, there's no political corruption, there's no diseases, there's no global disasters. No.
And 171, Mega Man 2 with Anthony.
So I would say Quick Man is a pain if you don't have the Time Stopper. If you do have the Time Stopper, it takes off like half of his life, and then it's just about trying to avoid him and stuff like that. So I would say that as far as like, you know, the best... Where you're like, oh, I can. I mean, as I said, at this point, it comes down to, you know, do you have the right weapon? Because some of them, all it takes is you just get the right weapon and you just hit him a couple times and you're good. So I don't know. I mean, is it cheating to say Metal Man? Only because like once you get the Metal Blade, that kind of opens up things a lot easier. And I know one of your other questions is, you know, do you spam the Metal Blade? So I hate to jump ahead. And the answer is no, I don't, because I don't want to play like that. I use the Mega Blaster through the level. I'll go to other weapons if I have to, but I use the power, you know, the Mega Blaster, because I feel like that gives me enough of a challenge to make it worthwhile. I feel like if I spam the Metal Blade throughout the level and with the bosses and stuff, then it's not as fun.
Pixel Project Radio is another fantastic show that we think you should check out. At the time of Squidge and I collaborating on this episode, they have a great multi-part series about Final Fantasy IX. There are 4 episodes out at the moment, and each is over 2 hours long. It's great stuff. Anyway, we'll be back in April, assuming Jay can get over the jet lag quickly. I'll hand over to Jay for the outro now, but remember to check the show notes for links to all of the podcasts I've talked about. Anyway, this is Delilah signing off.
If you've been sent this episode by a friend, or indeed a mortal enemy, or happened on it accidentally, I'd like to ask you to check out the website for the show at wafflingtailors.rocks. We have another 180 episodes, or 7 years of our podcast, for you to check out, And we have a section called Those Games We Played, which lists every game we've ever mentioned, how many times we've mentioned it, and what we've said about them. We have socials, they'll be in the links too. We've got Twitter or X, whichever one you want to call it. We've got Discord, you'll also find the details for that in the description. We also stream on Twitch from time to time, and you can find our previous streams and silly videos on our YouTube channel. So do come check us out.